We've still got a couple of minutes, so let's... All right, we're going to go ahead with the next talk now. It's going to be Clay Perkins talking about the value of aphid management in Tennessee wheat.
Thank you. Welcome. Like him said, I'm Clay Perkins, and I'm under the supervision of Dr. Scott Stewart at the University of Tennessee. And today I'm going to talk to you about the value of aphid management in Tennessee wheat. So to get started, just to introduce you, these are the aphids that affect small grains. The most common species found are the bird cherry oat, English grain aphid, the green bug, corn leaf aphid, and the rice root aphid. However, in Tennessee, the three that we see most common are the bird cherry oat, and then the English green aphid, and green bug. So talk about their thresholds. Except for the green bug, the treatment threshold has not been very well established in the Mid-South. However, according to the Tennessee Insect Control Guide, treatment levels for the green bug start at 4 to 6 inches tall at a threshold of 50 per row feet at a fall to early spring timing. And then moving to mid-March, when the wheat reaches 6 to 10 inches tall, the threshold increases to 200 per row feet. And then moving to the bird cherry oat and the English grain aphid, the threshold would be 6 to 8 per linear foot, and this helps to prevent barley yellow dwarf. And so to talk a little bit about barley yellow dwarf, this is a viral disease that is vectored by the aphids. However, controlling these aphids in the spring is not very well recommended, as spring infestations of aphids and barley yellow dwarf seldom cause yield loss. So continuing on, it takes a high population of aphids to really reduce this yield on wheat. And like we mentioned earlier, the aphid species are all found to vector this disease. And like I said, this early fall transmission is the most impactful on wheat. So a couple of symptoms of barley yellow dwarf include patchy stunning, discoloration of leaves, and then, of course, at the end, we'll see it in the yield loss. So to talk a little bit about our control options, starting with insecticide seed treatments, our neonicotinoids, we have Gaucho, Cruiser, and then Nipsid Inside. They all have their individual use rates. However, we normally use a rate of 0.8 to 1 ounce per 100 weight. Moving to our foliar options, we have our synthetic pyrethroids, which are the most common used. They include Baythroid, Declair, Mustang Max, and then Karate or Warrior. However, for green bug, pyrethroids are not very well recommended. But however, we have dimethylate, lanate, and then methylparathion. So talking a little bit about my master's, my objectives. Starting out, number one will be evaluating how insecticide seed treatments and or foliar applications affect aphids, barley yellow dwarf, and yield. And then number two is testing the efficacy of existing and new insecticide seed treatments. And then finally, the one we're going to talk about today is a meta-analysis of previous data collected here in Tennessee. So this data set ranged from 2006 to 2016, with planting dates from early October through November. These tests are replicated small and large plot trials, and they include either insecticide seed treatment, a foliar, and then a IST plus a foliar. And we had a total of 27 different tests analyzed. However, we did not have a complete matching data set of aphids to barley yellow dwarf in every test. So our ratings, we're going to only focus on spring ratings, starting with aphids. These ratings are done from February to March, with a few exceptions. And how we're going to rate these are by counting the numbers per 3 to 5 row feet, depending on the test. And then for barley yellow dwarf, is done in the spring as well, by counting the numbers of symptomatic leaves per 100 to 150 square feet, and this is typically done near heading or shortly after that. And for these IST tests, we're only going to use data that includes a labeled use rate, and we're not going to distinguish between active ingredients. We're just going to clump them all together. And then for the foliar test, Karate Z was the mostly used pyrethroid, and then a few examples or a few exceptions include Bathroid. And this foliar application was being done in the spring, which mainly is done during February. So our analysis, our response variable is going to be the treatment averages for each test, and this includes our spring aphid populations, and that's done on a numbers per row meter, and then barley yellow dwarf, a number of leaves per 10 meters squared, and then our yield being bushels per acre. And then our analysis is going to be ran through PROC-GLIMIX and SAS, and we're going to use an LS means for mean separation at an alpha level of 0.05. And then our aphid and barley yellow dwarf numbers are going to go through a square root transformation. So starting out with our preliminary results, I'm just going to set it up for you. Next couple of slides are all going to be the same. Starting here with our aphids per meter, we're going to have an IST, a foliar, and then an IST with or without a foliar. And then if you'll notice at the bottom, we have our end value. This is the number of tests being analyzed, and just remember there was only a total of 27. So starting with our aphids and the IST used, we had a 91% significant decrease using an IST compared without. And with our foliar, pretty similar results. We had a significant of 87% using a foliar compared to without. And then when we added this foliar on top of an IST, we just had a 72% decrease adding that foliar when we did not use it. And then moving to our barley yellow dwarf measured per 10 meters squared, starting with an IST, we had a significant decrease of 74% using an IST compared to without it. And then with our foliar option, we had another significant decrease of 83% using the foliar. And then with our IST, in addition with the foliar, we had a significance of 92% using that foliar. And then finally, in our yield, done in bushels per acre, using an IST, we saw a significance of 4 bushels increase using an IST. And then with our foliar, pretty similar, we had another significance of 5 bushel increase using a foliar. And then when we added that foliar on top of an IST, we only had a 3 bushel increase. And so now we're going to compare an IST versus a foliar option. With our aphids, we only had a 52% decrease using a foliar versus an IST. And then with our barley yellow dwarf rating, we had a significance of 32% decrease with a foliar compared to an IST. And then when we look at yield, we had a 2 bushel increase using a foliar compared to an IST. So for our conclusion, we see that management of aphids is very crucial, as we can have a 4 to 5 bushel increase. We see that using a foliar or an IST can statistically provide the similar protection. However, in some different tests, we had a few exceptions where one outweighed another. And then when we looked at a yield, we did not have enough data to show a statistically difference between adding the IST or a foliar on top of an IST. However, when we broke that down to individual tests, we had a few where a significant yield was observed. So at this time, I'd like to thank my advisor, Dr. Scott Stewart, and then our field technicians, Ms. Sandy Steckel and Matthew Williams, and then Randy Dunnigan, my fellow grad student Scott Graham, and then our summer crew. This time I'll take any questions.
Any questions?
Yes, sir.
Did you say you used one ring on all three of the insecticides for the seed treatment?
Yes.
I missed that at the very beginning. I thought you said maybe
0.8. Oh, I was, so the question was if we used a same rate or three different rates. So I had three different ISTs used, and they all had their individual use rates. However, in Tennessee, we only typically suggest using a rate of 0.8 to 1 ounce. So we did not break it up. We just kind of all clumped them up together.
These were all in West Tennessee, or were these all Jackson?
So these, all these tests were pretty much there at Jackson at the West Tennessee Research Station. However, we had one test that was on a farm, but so.
Any more questions? We've still got time.
Yes, sir.
Your conclusions were that you didn't have statistical separation, but I didn't catch all that in your graphs. You had like 90%, 80% kind of changes. So a lot of those weren't even statistically significant, even though they were 80, 90% suppression. Or did I miss something? Your graphs and your conclusions
right. Didn't
seem to be the same to me as I was looking at it.
I think in the yield, it did not significantly change.
So that 2 or 3 bushel often was not significant.
Right, yes, sir.
More questions.